Well, with Halloween having come and gone by this point, we're now moving headlong into that wonderful season of spending money and buying stuff. Yes, with the impending Christmas season now upon us, advertisers are asking us to spend every waking moment considering what we need and how to go about getting it. Now, as much as I might sort of think of, deride the overall Christmas season for all that it's become, I kind of really love this time of year, and especially with all the craziness that it brings. But you know, I think it's important for all of us to take these first few weeks of November to reflect on what's really important so that we don't lose sight of what this coming season's actually all about. And you know what? That's really easy to do when our focus is on how much money we need to buy all the things that we want. And while the things that we all desire might bring us satisfaction for a moment once we get them, that feeling quickly goes away and we're left chasing and wanting after more. More this, more that, more whatever. And when this is what our seasons are consumed by, it's easy to question who it is that we're actually serving and chasing after. Are we pursuing possessions, or are we pursuing Christ? Try as we might, we can't pursue both with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because it's impossible to serve two masters at the exact same time. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning as we kick off our November Stewardship Sermon Series. Because when we stop to think about our lives and how we spend them, it's easy to confuse who it is that we're actually giving our all to. God or our money and our stuff. To make sure that we're living our lives in the way that Christ desires for us to live them. Let's turn to our scripture today out of Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 through 21 and verse 24, as Christ tells us which of these masters is worth serving. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me now to Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. And if not, you can follow us here on the screen. So first up is Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, and then we'll wrap up with verse 24. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And now in verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, Jesus' words here from Matthew 6 come from his famous Sermon on the Mount, where he describes what it looks like to live a life of faith, and how God's kingdom is going to look different than the rest of the world that we see around us right here, right now. Now, making the decision to live for Christ and to accept citizenship in his kingdom, it means reorienting ourselves to a new way of life where we look at things differently than we used to. And you know, that inevitably changes how we view the importance of money and possessions and what role they play in our lives. Now, the original Greek translation of this verse says that we cannot serve God and mammon, which is an Aramaic word meaning money or possessions. And you know, it's not that our money or our stuff is inherently bad, but rather, as Paul goes on to tell us, it's the love of these things that is evil and unhealthy. In 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul writes, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." When we give our all to Christ, we experience freedom, purpose, peace, and love. But when we give ourselves to mammon, when we serve mammon, when we're consumed by our love for money and stuff above all else, what we get is a piercing pain, grief, and regret inside our very souls. Because for all the things that money and stuff might bring us in the here and in the now, that money and that stuff can't bring us freedom or a peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, of course, admittedly, this might all sound a bit silly to lots of people today. After all, for all this talk about slavery to money and stuff, you probably haven't prayed to your banker or worshipped at a Walmart. I've prayed to Philip a couple of times, but he has not responded to my prayers. That altar, I mean, come on. No, I'm kidding, of course. But, you know, since we haven't acted in such strange ways, we tell ourselves, we must not really have a problem. Well, friends, that's the lie of the addict. The lie that convinces us that since our problems aren't as bad as they could be, then they're not really problems at all. Trouble is, you know as well as I do, that we spend most of our lives struggling with this master that Jesus calls mammon. We'll tell ourselves that we're not mastered by our money or our stuff. But think about it. How often do we find ourselves feeling jealous of somebody else's money, clothes, car, or even their house? Despite what we might tell ourselves, we struggle with this desire for more money and more stuff on a seemingly daily basis. Because after all, our world is driven by people and products that keep telling us that we're not reaching our full potential unless we get that one product or get that one job that'll somehow magically make everything all better. That's the great lie that materialism and greed try to convince us of. We don't need God to be happy and secure. We just need more money and more stuff. But you know, when is enough ever really enough? A certain amount of mammon might be good enough for now, but what happens when we want more than what we already have? Despite our best efforts, mammon never leaves us satisfied. It only leaves us empty and wanting more. But when Jesus is our portion, we won't have to hunger or thirst anymore. Because as he himself tells us in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In Jesus, we find all that we need to be satisfied. Because when we love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, he gives us all that we need to live a full and faithful life. Now, as we've already said, it's not the money and stuff that's evil itself, but rather it's the love of these things which is a root of all kinds of evil. Money and stuff can be received, enjoyed, and shared in the right way when we remember who it is that blesses us with it in the first place. It's God who gives us the gifts which give this life meaning, purpose, happiness, and joy, including the money and possessions with which we can care for ourselves as well as others. Because, you know, one of Jesus' main problems with this love of money is that it insulates us from others and their needs. When our concern and focus is only on how much we can get rather than how much we can give, we'll never be able to love our neighbors as ourselves. Because how can we seek abundance for them when we're only concerned with abundance for us? As we're told time and time again in Scripture, we cannot serve two masters. And if the master we're actually serving isn't concerned with others and their needs, then that master is not God. Now, to make sure that this particular kind of evil doesn't take root in our lives, Jesus says that we need to think about where we're storing up our treasures in the first place. Listen again to what Jesus says here in verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here in Matthew 6, Jesus is telling us that we determine something's importance by the amount of time, energy, and attention we give to it. Those are the things that become our treasure. Now, Jesus is careful to tell us here that if we're giving our time, energy, and attention to money and stuff, then quite frankly, we're wasting our time. Because those things can come and go. They can be taken away just as quickly as they are given to us in the first place. If the only things we're assigning value to in our lives are money and possessions, then we have failed to grasp what this life, this blessing, is really all about. Because while our consumer culture would want us to believe that our identity is defined by the things we own or how much money we have, absolutely nothing could be further from the truth. For you see, our identity is found in Christ. And when we live as He calls us to live, we'll find meaning and we'll find purpose in the things that will never, ever pass away. Because you know, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, I doubt we'll look back fondly on the things we owned or how much money we saved. Instead, we'll look back fondly on the blessing of family and friends. We'll remember the people who taught us about Jesus and His love. And we'll reflect on how God was faithful to us throughout every season of our lives, good and bad. Friends, when we give our time, our attention, and our energy to the things and people that really matter, we're storing up treasures in heaven that will last forever. These are the types of treasures that don't ebb or flow depending on how the stock market's doing. They won't ever rust or decay, and they can't be stolen by thieves or eaten by moths. So what kind of treasure are you storing up for yourself? The kind that gives you satisfaction for a moment and then leaves you wanting more? Or the kind that's going to bring you happiness, hope, and purpose forever? Those are the questions that Jesus wants us to be asking ourselves. Because this life we live goes by so incredibly fast that it'd be an absolute waste if we spent it pursuing more of what we don't need. Now, to be sure, we all need to work hard and use the gifts, skills, and abilities that God has blessed us with to acquire and share the things that bring safety and stability in our lives in the right here and the right now. But folks, to make those things the end-all, be-all of our existence, that isn't what Christ has in mind. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul writes these words: "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." As followers of Christ, we've been called to set our hearts and minds on the things that will last forever. But to do that, we've got to renew our minds to better understand the role that money and possessions play in our lives and to become better stewards of these gifts so that we can learn how to use them and to appreciate them in the right kind of way. As Jesus tells us, our hearts and minds shouldn't be focused on the love of money and possessions, but rather on the things that will last forever. To be good stewards of all these gifts, there's three lessons from today's scripture that will help us remember which master is worth serving with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to remember that first, money and possessions aren't evil, but the love of them is. When we love the blessings of life rather than the God who blesses us, that's when things start to go sideways really quick. Because as much as you might love a particular possession or a particular type of amount of money, friends, those things are never going to be able to love you back. They'll only leave you wanting more. Second thing is this. When it's all said and done, you can't take it with you. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells us that some treasures last for just a moment, while others last forever. As such, it's important that we don't confuse the two, because otherwise we'll wind up sacrificing the forever treasures in pursuit of the money and stuff that won't last. So invest your time, your energy, and your attention into the people and things that matter most, and leave behind what you can't take with you. Finally, make sure that you're serving the right master. In spite of what we might tell ourselves and despite what position we may hold in the world around us, we all wind up serving somebody else. And so let's just make sure that we're serving the right master and that we're using all that we have, including our money and possessions, for a greater glory than our own. As we wrap things up, let's be grateful that our good and gracious God has given all of himself for us. And let's respond to that amazing love by giving all of ourselves to him and by being good stewards of the many blessings that he's given to us.